Good evening. Welcome to Three Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny Elkview, West Virginia on this Lord's Night, Wednesday, the 29th day of July, 2026. And we want to welcome our online audience as always. And you know, I have to say tonight in our building is going to exceed our online number tonight. But we want to welcome you anyway. We appreciate you guys so much. And we'd love to hear from you. Click that like button if you're on Facebook Live. Click that comment button. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, if you have a prayer that you want to pray for, click that comment button. Let us know you're there. We really appreciate you guys, and you'd be amazed how far this thing reaches. And we want to, if you're wondering what kind of church we are, we exist to bring praise and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a couple of quick announcements and prayer requests for those of you who didn't get to hear. This coming Sunday, we got a board meeting appointed to people tonight. You board members, you know who you are. Be here Sunday right after the morning worship. We're going to have a board meeting. So, be in prayer for the family of Earl Rucker, who passed away. Also be in prayer for Ronnie, who is sick and could not be here tonight. All right. Tonight's message is entitled, Loss for the Sake of Christ. Loss for the sake of Christ. And tonight we're heading back into the book of Philippians. This is one of the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote in about 60-62 AD, some 25 to 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this letter to the Philippians is one of four books of the Bible that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And the other three being Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon. Back then, being in prison meant something different than what we have today. Back then, prison meant you had iron shackles on your wrists and on your ankles, and there were no legal protections in place against what we call cruel and unusual punishment back then. But Paul tells us that even being in chains enables him to reach even more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul considered it an amazing opportunity to reach the people in the jail. Incredible. A couple weeks ago, we recapped all of the trauma that Paul had to endure in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of Paul's continuous themes in his writings is that none of the tragedies that he endured were anything to boast about. Instead, all of Paul's boastings is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians tonight, chapter 3. Betty's going to pull up the verses on screen. Philippians chapter 3. As the Apostle Paul seeks to educate us a little bit on minimizing our self-confidence and our own abilities. Beginning in verse 3, Philippians chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New International Versions. Philippians 3, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house tonight, it's our goal tonight to open up your word, Father, for it to illuminate your truth to us, God, for us to model our lives around what you have taught us, God. We thank you for the example the Apostle Paul gave us. Pray that you would guide me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul writes to the church in Philippi that he has reasons to boast in his own abilities, which he calls the flesh. He's got a pedigree for, as a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. He's got education. He's educated. He's a member of the Pharisees. He's got zeal. He's got zeal to spare. And he has followed the letter of the law to a T. But he had something very much missing, as we know, as we spoke about a week ago. Paul's also a Roman citizen. That's a fact which he used to his own advantage many times. And Paul says that at one time in his life, he considered all of these things to be gains. These were good things in his life. All of his history and background and knowledge and education provided him a credibility within the Jewish religious leaders. A credibility that was nearly impossible to attain. And Paul says, if anyone has good reasons to boast in their own flesh, I've got them all beat. However, in verse 7, Paul tells us that those things that used to be so important to him, well, those are now worthless. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul says, all of my history, all of my accomplishments, everything that's on my wall, all of my education, everything that I once considered important in my life, it's now garbage. It's garbage in comparison to what Jesus offers. The King James versions and some other translations will use the word rubbish or trash or refuse. We understand this word. It's pretty clear. Garbage is something we want to put away from ourselves because it's completely useless. It's detestable to us. You know, some weeks Dean and I, we put out so much garbage at the curb, we're praying that the garbage man would actually come and take it away. That's the meaning of this word. Paul says, all of the accomplishments that I used to put on my resume are now as worthless as garbage. Now, that's not to say that being educated is worthless. It's not to say that, you know, knowing the Bible, having the right skill set, we're not saying that any of those things have zero value in our world today. But compared to knowing Christ, compared to being a born-again believer, those things shrink so small that they become completely minuscule. Paul says, all those things that I used to consider as gains, I now consider losses for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then Paul shifts a little bit here. I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. Paul explains that having a righteousness of his own is meaningless. You've got to have the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But I fear today, I fear that people have developed a righteousness of their own. I've said this once before at this pulpit. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm not a religious person, but I'm spiritual? I cringe every time I hear this. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. It's an incredibly dangerous statement to make. I think the Apostle Paul would say that person has created a righteousness of their own. Anyone who uses language like this, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, they're in a precarious position. I'm going to explain why here. If you will allow me to use a cooking illustration. What these people have really done is they pulled out their giant 5-gallon stainless pot and they set it on the stove, and into this pot they're throwing all kinds of strange ingredients. They're going to throw in some parts of the Bible, you know, the parts that they pick and choose, the parts that they like, you know, not all of it, but a few pieces are good. Throw that in, and then we're going to mix in some guidelines from other religions, add some humanistic ideas, and then a touch of a dash of worldly wisdom, and then we're going to mix it up and put it on high. They mix it all together and somehow hope that it turns out right. And in the end, what they've really cooked up has a complete stench because they've created a God, little g God, a God of their own design. That God does not exist. That God cannot save. And what's worse, they've lulled themselves into a false sense of security. They've rejected the God of the Bible. They've denied the deity of Jesus and the gospel message, and instead, they've embraced a false God. They don't realize it, but they're in extreme danger. But they feel safe because they say, I'm a spiritual person. The Bible is crystal clear that a righteousness of our own cannot save us. Even if this righteousness is based on the law given to us in the Old Testament, it cannot save us. The Bible says that the law cannot save, it only exposes our sin. Only through faith and repentance can we receive salvation through God's redemptive plan, executed perfectly by Christ Jesus through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Scripture reminds us over and over again, there is no other way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, "What? I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, no other way to heaven, no other way to God. Paul laments the fact that he once put his faith in the wrong object. Faith is only as important as the object of our faith. And this is another fallacy that you'll hear today. You'll hear this, high school graduations, and you'll hear this as worldly wisdom. They'll say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you what? Believe in something. It's completely false. It's completely false. Your faith only matters if your faith is in the right object. I can believe in the big blue cow in the sky. That's where I'm going to put my faith? Really? If the object of my faith is not real, then my faith is not real. It's not that you believe in something, it's that you have to believe in the right thing. If the object of our faith is false, so is our faith. And after telling us that knowing Jesus and being declared righteous to a holy God, that's the whole concept of justification that we spoke about years ago. Being declared righteous to a holy God, that's what exceeds everything else in life. And yet Paul says there's still more work ahead. Let's keep reading as we get to verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. There we go. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And there's the key. Paul says, press on. Don't dwell on what's behind us. Press on. Strain toward what is ahead. Press on towards the goal. As Paul says, our God has called us heavenward. Heavenward. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer every single day. And by the way, this is one of the only advantages I can think of growing older. Growing older. Your hair may be turning more gray or more non-existent in some cases. Your hair may be turning more gray. Your body may be getting more feeble. Your eyesight may be getting more dim. But death is not the end for the believer. Unspeakable joy awaits us in heaven for every person who's been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says? What's it going to be like? What's God got in store for us? The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now would be a great time for an amen. Oh, there we go. There we go. This is the eternal glory that Paul is looking forward to. And he's encouraging us to focus on. And as we wrap up here tonight, let us never, never fear giving up the temporary in search for the eternal. Enduring loss of the earthly in order to gain the heavenly is an exchange that we should be willing to make every single day. There's nothing on this earth worth clutching onto. Loss for the sake of Christ is no real loss at all. And I believe that one day we'll be in heaven at one point for 1,000 years, and we're going to wonder why we were so caught up in the things of this earth. We're going to look back and say, why in the world was that so important to us back then? Nothing on this earth is worth clutching onto. And as we close here tonight, let us all look heavenward. Let us all continue fighting the good fight. Let us all continue running the race. Amen. Until the day God brings us home. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message from the Apostle Paul. Lord, we desire, God, to have this heavenward mindset, God, to not dwell on the temporary but the eternal. God, we want to forget the past, God, but look forward to what you've called us to do, to run the race, to fight the good fight. God, we desire to be the kind of people you have called us to be, the Church of Jesus Christ. And God, we desire to expand your kingdom. Lord, we know in your word you've said it is your desire to grow your kingdom. It is your desire that every soul would come to a place of repentance, and it's our desire as well, God. We pray that you send laborers into the harvest. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us first. God, we just want to say you are so good to your people. Thank you, God, for this hope and a future that you have brought us through the redemption of our very souls. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.